Good evening. I'm glad to hear we're a little bit slow in coming tonight, but I want to welcome those who are here, and I want to make my sound check before I do anything else. Been having a little technical problems here, and I want to make sure everybody can hear. So if you can hear me, press 5*. Okay. Thank you. It may be a little bit slower tonight than usual. But welcome. I'm glad we're all here tonight, and I hope we've had an interesting week. It's been a lot going on this past week in the news and in our lives, so we take this time out to begin with prayer. Our usual prayer isn't on just yet, so let us pray together at this time. Our Lord and our God, we thank you. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for bringing us together over this convenient way of studying your word. We just give you all the praise. We ask that tonight, those who are struggling with various things in their lives, that they will find answers in what they are doing in the study that we have tonight. We hope that you will open our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to allow us to hear and feel your presence in our lives and the lives of those who are on the line and those who are desiring to come onto the line. Lord, we just give you thanks and we give you praise and we say amen. Okay, I'm glad to see everyone here. Kelly, if you can hear, press 5*, and I'll know that you. Okay, thank you. Also, Cheryl, if you can hear me now, press 5*, so I'll know we had just finished the sound check. And just, I got you, Kelly, and thank you, Cheryl. Okay. All right. Just remember tonight, if you have any questions, anything you need to say, comments, or anything that's not clear, please feel free to press 5*, and we'll do the best we can to get it all answered. First of all, what I wanted to do tonight is we'll have a little recap, but then I wanted to see how we did with our homework and who had which son. We were supposed to look up build the family tree, the line of going to the line of Abraham by the sons of Noah. Okay, if you had, I'm going to just ask, and then if you had Shem, if you started off with Shem, press 5*. Nobody? I thought someone had Shem. Okay, Cheryl, I'll put you under Shem. Ham, I'm going to close you back, Cheryl, if I can get the rest. Who had Ham? We have Kelly and Betty. And I'm going to ask before... I'll ask now, if your tree is finished, I'm going to figure out a way for you to email it to me. Francis, you had, you have Ham? Okay. Okay. So we had Ham, Shem, and any Jephthahs on the line. Jephthah. Okay, I'm going to mute you all back unless you have... Anybody want to say anything regarding their research on this? Anything you discovered? or that you want to share before we get started? Okay, no one just yet. All right, then we'll get started reviewing where we went and what we actually found. And I want us to look at it tonight, our whole study tonight, as learning history of what the Bible is actually telling us and how we can put it into our lives. Okay, I'm going to unmute you, Kelly. Your hand is up. Go ahead, Kelly.
I'm sorry. We could probably discuss this later, but I ran into some issues.
What were your issues?
Because I was doing Pam, and I'm just trying to get my paper out that I was working on. Because there is a section. I didn't want to take up, you know, all of the time. But when you look at it, and they are starting to break it down, and I know that based on what's listed, that you had Cush, Mizraim.
Can you give us your biblical verses that you're referring to?
Oh, I'm sorry. In Genesis 5.
Okay. You went back to 5?
No, I'm sorry. Chapter 10, and they start going over Ham in verses 6. And the part that threw me is when we got to verse 9 with Nimrod, and I understand Nimrod, but it is verse 10 is what I was a little confused or was not sure. And I just did not have, I mean, I did have time, but I waited till last minute to do my homework. But where verse 10 says, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Helna, and the land of Shinar. That part threw me a little bit because I was not sure if those were strictly lands or if those were individuals. Because of just how some of the, and then like in verse 12, when it mentioned, and Lesna between Nineveh and Calah and the same and the great city. And then in verse 13, it picks up Mizraim, which, okay, I get that. I understand those. But it was just a moment how when it's going back and forth, I could not tell. Because even when you go further down, they talk about the Canaanites and the Averdites and just the different tribes. So I was
okay.
There was some confusion there for me.
There is confusion there. Did anybody else notice that confusion, or did you just skip right over it because it didn't make a whole lot of sense to you? If you did, you can star 5-star. But the way I'm going to explain it for you tonight, because it's telling you the sons. If you go back to the beginning of 10 and take this in, you could make a note or draw your lines however you want to make your family tree go down. At the beginning of 10, Genesis 10, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, and Ham, and Jephthah. And unto them were sons born after the flood. Okay, in the first part, if anyone has the sons of Jephthah. Now the sons of Jephthah were Gomer, Magog, Madiah, and Javan, and Tubal, Meshach, and Tirath. Okay, now, before you can get out of Jephthah, it's telling you in that third verse, the sons of Jephthah's first son, Gomer, these are the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarmah. Okay, That's the first son born to Jephthah. Then, remember, if you look back up to verse 2, you will see that Javan was the third son. Okay? Now, Javan's sons, if we look at it, was Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodaman. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. Now, what it's saying there is, this is how all the sons in the land got, what do you want to call the word? Got all the people in their lands. These people are responsible for, I can't think of a good word, propagating the land. And they were after their families in their nation. They had become, remember when we read where the nations were spread out, Noah's children were fertilizing the city, and they were spread out over it. So these are the isles of the Gentiles divided into their land and their nations. Now, they told you the ones that was, we went as far as Jephthah's children and Shem's children. Now, then they go to the sons of Ham. Now, Ham's first son is Cush and Mizraim and Put and Canaan. Now, you'll get confused later if you got to keep in mind that Canaan is the name of one of the sons, but also the land that they're going to be in was Canaan. They were going to the land of Canaan. And it says, and the sons of Cush, see, Cush was the first son they named after Ham. He was the oldest, I guess. And then Cush had Seba, Havilah, Sabatha, Rama, and Sabatha. And the sons of, and then it skips you down to start the sons of Ramah and Sheba and Dedan, and Cush begot Nimrod. Well, Cush is the oldest son that we can see from Ham, and he had Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherein it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And later in the Bible, you may run across Nimrod again, and maybe that's why they're taking the time to tell us what Nimrod was about. Okay,
That's what I thought about that, is why they, because it seemed like he got a separate, you know, thing. So
explanation of who he is. Right.
And you can't, I couldn't tell if he was, you know, where he fell in line.
Okay. I think 10 is really good, but you have to take your time in chapter 10. And that's why I was saying I wanted you to write your family tree. If you see it going down the line, you see who's the first son born to the first son of Noah. Then you see the second son, third son, and so on.
Right, but you see how this is worded in 10? It says, and the beginning of his kingdom, are they saying Nimrod? Is that who they're
No, no. Well, I believe what they're saying, the beginning of who's the first son? Whose son are we starting with? Because we started off.
They started out with Jephthah. But when they say it, they say Noah, Shem. They always say Shem, Ham, and Jephthah, but they started out with Jephthah's lineage.
Now, let's go back. Not going back to the beginning. It's going back to verse 6 when it says, and the sons of Ham were, and then you get Cush, and they go on to the sons of Cush, and then they keep going on, and then Cush begot Nimrod. See, they're still talking about the children of Ham. And his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, when it says even Nimrod, the mighty hunter, he's still a descendant of Ham. This whole thing is on Ham at this point. So
right.
it's in the big, pardon?
But but I still don't understand 11.
Okay, we didn't
or
get
10,
there yet.
I'm sorry, 10. I didn't mean that. I meant 10.
Okay, it's the beginning of Ham's, when it says, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. See, it started off talking about him. It was Ham, the last one that was mentioned, the last son of Noah that's mentioned. And that's where his kingdom began, with Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calna in the land of Shinar. And you might see this a little bit later, too. In 11, I think you see it. Out of that land went forth Ashur and build Nineveh. And the city, and you're going to hear about Nineveh later, because who goes to Nineveh?
Right.
Jonah. Or
right.
tried not to go to Nineveh. Out of that mm-hmm. land went forth Asher and built Nineveh and the city of Rehoboam. And Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, the same is a great city. Now, when you keep going down in that chapter, these names are all cities out
okay.
of whom came. And if you look at, now, this Pathrism and Chalcedon, verse 14, out of who came the Philistines. And we definitely are going to know the Philistines later. And mm-hmm. what you know is the city they came out of and what relationship he would have been to Noah.
Gotcha.
Is my song.
So we probably should have put down, I guess, it would be then helpful as we finish the tree to put down the associated lands as well.
Right, because that's
tribes.
Where they are.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And the Jebusites, you see all of that at the end of 10, right? And it's telling you where they are. And it's going to make a difference because even in that, when it finishes in verse 20, these are the sons of Ham after their families, after their tongue, in their countries, and in their nations. Did you get that part?
Right.
I'm gonna pose you back. Oh,
okay.
Did you have to say something else?
No. I was going to say it's also, you're right, we'll know about them. It also is kind of foreshadowing because when they explain their tongue,
right, and they'll explain who's the enemy, why they're the enemy, where they're going.
Come on, shoot up.
Okay, God, my husband has the phone up. Hold on a minute.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Huh?
Okay. I wanted to go, I was working on 22, verse 22, when it tells you the children of Shem. It's like a recap of Jephthah, the elder, even to him were children born. And you just take your time on that chapter to make your family tree. And then you'll see it and you'll go, okay. Sharon, thank you. Glad to see you're here and made it. Any other questions about your family tree? And that very last verse of chapter 10, it tells you, these are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So, you know, like when people ask you, well, how did people get all over the world or whatever after the flood if everybody and everything was killed? Jesus had saved, Jesus, Lord help me. Oh, sorry, one and the same. But God had saved Noah's family with the intention that they would be the ones to repopulate the earth afterwards. And that's why it goes into such detail to help us to know who they were, where they went, and why they went in different places. So those three sons and their offsprings are responsible for the population and all over, and that's why they're telling you. I wish there was a map that would show, and that could be a challenge if someone wants to try to find one, that would show the original names of these cities, like we're reading in Genesis 10. Names of cities and areas have been changed over the years, so it's kind of difficult to find out what was the city when they were there and what is it now, exactly where would it be. The desert sometimes we know, but the others we don't always know. Okay, anything else you wanted to ask before we go on from there? And we actually did the Tower of Babel already, is that correct? If anybody thinks we didn't or missed it. Okay, Cheryl, I'm going to open you.
My friend,
go ahead, Cheryl. I missed your first part. You weren't unmuted yet. Unmuted. Go ahead.
But I went on the internet and I did the descendants. I did this family tree for Shem, and I got
okay.
A family for him, and there is also a little map.
Okay. Do you have internet?
I do, yes.
If you could do me a favor and just copy it and either email it to me or give it to me on Sunday.
All
and
right,
then I can share it with everybody else for where it went. Because that way we get to see how they spread out and got further and further around.
Why don't you just
tell me where to go and I'll go look for it.
That's what I want to do. Just go to Family Tree of Shem from the Bible.
Okay.
You should see a family tree.
Okay. I hope everyone can hear that, so that'll save us extra work. Family tree, you said?
Yes, of Shem from the Bible.
So it should have for all of them, family tree of Shem. Okay.
My problem is that it's... I guess I'll have to work on it to get larger print because as it is right now, it might be larger on my computer. I'm just on my iPad.
Okay.
But it does have it.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that because I did not get that. And I guess I wasn't thinking because I kept saying there ought to be a map for when they started to spread all over, you know, where they started from and how far it goes. Because hopefully tonight when we get to Abraham and God tells him where to look at all the land around him as his land, and we need to have somewhat of an idea of what that's supposed to be. So thank you so much.
Go ahead. Called the descendants.
Okay. Thank you. I'm at a loss tonight. Overly tired. Okay, the descendants of Ham, Shem, Shem, and Jephthah. All right, thanks, Cheryl. I'm going to mute you back, and we're going to go on. I'm going to be using King James for tonight, but was anybody else needed any catch-up or anything about the Tower of Babel, which was chapter 11? Now, I know we did it, and we might have done it a little bit twice. Anybody? We talked about, and I'll just briefly go over it. We talked about how when the descendants of Noah came to, like, this area that they ended up naming Babel, because of the tower they built. they were building a tower, and they figured if they made the tower, there would be nothing they could not do. So God decided to confound the language so that they weren't able to do all the things and become their own gods. And we had talked about that before. So I'm going to start now with, and read it again. Read 11 again when you have time this week. Chapter 12 of Genesis. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now, I wanted to get your response to this first sentence. Okay, I'm going to unmute you, Kelly. Wait a moment.
Okay, I didn't have my hand up based on that. I just was letting you know where we stopped for.
Where did we stop? 11 something?
We stopped at verse 7.
11, 7?
No, verse 12. We started 12.
Oh, okay. Well, this is okay. We stopped at verse 7 of chapter 12, right?
Right. I just want to at least let you... Actually, we stopped at... I'm sorry. You're right. We stopped at 11:30. And you said we were going to start at verse... Of 11. So we're a little, we had like a couple of more verses before this.
Okay, in Genesis 11?
Right, that's where we stopped, 11:29.
Okay, thank you. I wrote it down and I can't even find it. And I made a big star. So anyway, okay, you said we stopped at like verse 7 of chapter 11?
I had made a mistake, no. We stopped at, I have my notebook, we stopped at chapter 11, verse 29 was the last verse we read, and you said that we would pick up at verse 30 of chapter 11.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go back to chapter 11 and verse 29. Thank
verse
you,
30.
Kelly. Verse 30, I'll mute you back.
Okay.
Okay. Now, what I'm going to do is, because we may or may not have, and I went that far, we're going to start at verse 24 in chapter 11, because I want us to remember and know who Nahor is. Because at verse 24, it says, and Nahor lived 29 years and begat Terah. Now, this is just a question for you. You may be able to answer it tonight, but if you aren't able to answer it tonight, I want you to go backwards and find out which son is Terah descended from. Because this is where we're going into. Verse 24, and Nahor lived 29 years and begot Terah. You have to know who the predecessors of Nahor are, and it should be in one of your lines of descendants. And Nahor lived after he begot Terah 119 years and begot sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, this is interesting. These names really do give us a lot of information. Terah lived 70 years and he begat Abram before he becomes Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Okay? Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begot Lot. And this may be an example of that JEPD because it's saying the same thing twice, one right after the other. They may be different writers. And Haran, who was one of Abram's brothers and Nahor's brother, died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. When you look for your maps, Google Ur of the Chaldees and see where you find it, to see where his native land was. It'll give you an idea of the space that they actually traveled. It was quite a bit of traveling. But throughout scriptures in the Old Testament, you'll hear of Ur of the Chaldees. Okay, and Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. Oh yeah, this is where we got a little bit confused. Milcah, the daughter of Haran. Milcah, the daughter of Haran. Who would that be from what we just read? The father of Milcah and the father of Ishka. Who would their father be? Anybody? Five star. Just from what you know, from what we just read. Okay. Kelly?
It's the Haran is the father, and so they are Lot's siblings as well.
Right. They are Abram's nephew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they are, we never really hear in scripture that Lot actually had a brother and a sister. But when you read this, this tells you, and for whatever reason, we don't know why these women got mentioned, their names got mentioned. So pay attention to that, because so often the women are not mentioned by name at all, unless they play a more important role. Okay, so Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Ishka. So he had three children before he died. That was Haran. Later on, we're going to see that they go to a land or a town called Haran, and we have to be able to separate the difference. I'm going to mute you back, Kelly. Any more comments or questions on that?
No, thanks.
Okay. Okay, but Sarah was barren. Now, Sarah, we got to remember, was Abram's wife. She was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, and his son, Abram's wife. They try to make it really clear in this paragraph here about who belonged to who and who was going, because more than one way he says that Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son, Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran. Ah, this is where you see the other Haran. And this is actually a city. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. The days of Terah were 205 years. And Terah died in Haran. Now, it's kind of interesting that what I find here is when they tell us about Milcah, she's not mentioned again. Why, we don't know. But I was trying to figure out the lineage with that. If if Milcah was her father, and Milcah was also, is that a cousin? Is that a close-in relative? Did anyone have any questions about that? Because I thought it was kind of interesting that they said that. Okay. I'm trying to open you, unmute you. Go ahead. Oh, no, you're closed again.
Okay,
Kelly.
I did it myself. Okay, so basically it is that he married his niece is what he did, and we know that there was a lot of that happened. You know that happened, cousins, you know, sometimes siblings, but that's what it was. He married his niece.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know, if we noticed that. She was the daughter of Haran, and Haran was Nahar's brother.
Right.
So we need to pay attention to things like that, because it's going to come up in different ways to help you know that the families were all mixed in. Okay. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Okay. Now we go to 13. What was that? I wanted to go back to this part in Genesis 12, the first chapter, because I think there's some things we can learn from that and some things we've missed or maybe glossed over. In Genesis 12, the first verse. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. What exactly is he telling him to do? That we know he didn't totally listen to. Can anybody see that first verse and know from what you've read? What is God saying? Pretend he's saying it to you, and what would he be telling you to do? Somebody five-star me, because I know you know. I'm waiting for a five-star. No, Kelly is the only person here that can hear me tonight is Kelly. I'll take what I can get. Go ahead, Kelly.
I purposely was trying not to raise my hand, but.
And Sharon, are you awake? Go ahead.
I forgot we did kind of talk about this before, but he's telling him to get away from his family, to things that are familiar. To him, to come away, to get away
okay.
from that.
And why do you think he's saying that? Why do you think he got those instructions?
I think because what happens is when we stay in the familiar one, it's a place of comfort. And when we are in a position of comfort, we kind of become stagnant. Like we don't move. We don't do, we stay comfortable. We don't move. Two is the other thing is that sometimes family and things that are familiar can become distractions. And sometimes, like, God may have told us to do something, but when we're so preoccupied with family, work, things that are on our plate, the things that are familiar, the things that maybe tug at our heart, we listen to those things and we become more even stressed or confused or, we don't necessarily hear what God is saying to do, or we even kind of put that voice to the back burner. So I think he was trying to say, leave what's familiar. Go out, because when you leave the familiar, then you and you, let's say you're going someplace that you've never been before, you really, just like if you're driving, you turn the radio off, you stop talking to the people that are in the car so that you can focus on those directions, so you can make sure that you hit every turn and every, you know, exit that you're supposed to. And I think it's the same thing with the Lord, is that to make sure that you are listening to him and following where he says go.
Thank you for sharing that, because it's definitely true, because we will listen more to other members. I'm going to open you, Betty, and just, I got you. One of the things we tend to do often is we'll put family first, whatever the family says. They'll talk you out of what God is telling you to do, because God's not speaking to them, but God is speaking to you, and they don't know it, but they want to offer wisdom or advice, they think. Betty, go ahead.
I saw it in another way also, that this was the beginning of God testing Abraham to see if he'd be obedient, because he tested him when he asked him to sacrifice his son also, and he was going to make a covenant with him. So by saying to you, you leave the familiar and you go to another place, this might have been a test for Abraham by God to see how obedient he would be.
Absolutely, because he had more in store for him. And
yes,
that's the thing we fail to realize sometimes, that when God gives us commands, he has more in store for us. We tend to just look at what's right in front of us at the time, and we try to talk ourselves out of what God is saying. And I remember people would tell me, God's not telling you that. And I would say, I know that I hear what I believe to be God, you know.
And you have to step out on faith, yes.
Absolutely. And the thing about this, and I'll mute you back in a minute, Betty, I'll see if you have another response. He said, the Lord said unto Abram, get out of your country. That's number one. Go to another country. And from thy kindred. Now, wasn't he still with his kindred when he took Lot and the other people with him? He said, keep this in mind as we go forth. He says, get out from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I'll show you. Don't worry about the land you're leaving. Don't worry about your father's land. But I want to show you something different and better. And I believe that's what God is always doing. He's trying to guide us to that abundant land. It's like with the Israelites, when he guides them out of Egypt, he wants them to have a bountiful land. What is it described? A land flowing with milk and honey.
Milk and honey, yeah.
Yeah, and if you can't be obedient enough to go in that direction, guess what? You blow it.
Yeah.
So it's learning the name and trusting the name of God and the Spirit of God to guide.
Mm-hmm.
Any more with that, Betty?
That was it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. Okay. Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, this is coming into our what? Covenant. He's promising to do these things if Abraham will listen. Abram. He's not Abraham yet. He says, but if you do this, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. He's giving him an everlasting promise, if he would just be obedient to what he's asking him to do. This is what he promises to do. This is part of our promise. And if we can follow God, he will make us a great nation. He will bless us and make our names great. He will we will be a blessing to other people. And he says, I'll bless them that bless you. That's an awesome promise, because the people who bless you, the people who do things for you, the people who share with you or lift your spirit, they will be blessed because they blessed you. But he also says, I'll run interference for you. Those that curse you, I'll curse them. And in these shall all families of the earth be blessed. So we don't have to worry about being vindictive. We don't have to worry about people who do evil against us. And we find a lot of those promises in the Psalms, in the Psalms of David. Okay, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. But Lot is a kindred. He said, get away from your kindred. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, this is Haran, the town, the area in which his father stopped in on their travels. And maybe he stopped because that was his son's name. You know how something's familiar and we say, oh, maybe that's intended to be. It was so interesting today. We had to go to physical therapy, and Garland had a new therapist, and it was a woman, and her last name was Garland. And we were like, oh, isn't that just like God to say you picked the right place? Because for Garland to have someone whose last name was Garland, and it's not a common name. So we do tend to look at things that are familiar and say, God has a hand in this. But anyway, we'll go on. Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. So they must have added on some people in Haran, probably servants, because they said souls, and there's no real definition to what they meant. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanites was then in the land. And we know that the Canaanites come through the line where Cana is, one of the sons, great-grandsons. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there build he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He's giving honor and praise to God because God appeared to him at Shechem. So he wanted to build an altar to represent God's presence in their place. How often do we build an altar to God for something that God has done, for something God has promised? We need to take note of it and build our own altar sanctuary within our homes or wherever, in our yard, wherever we see fit to meet the Lord. The Lord appeared unto him. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, Ai on the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. He built an altar, and then it reminds us that he's now calling on the Lord. He's seeking God for direction, and we need to think in terms of that. How often do we seek God for directions, or do we seek other people? Do we seek our relatives, our friends and neighbors? Do we call on the Lord and wait for the Lord to answer, no matter how long it takes? And Abram journeyed, going on still towards the south. Now, it's kind of interesting because God has told him the land where he was going to give it all to him. But Abram journeying, going on still towards the south. He's going south now. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass when he was come near to enter Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife. Now once again, this story has precautions for us. Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save you alive. So when you get there, say, I pray thee, you are my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. And the prince of the Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plague because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. Now, we look at that and we see Abraham created a source of, I don't know what you would call it, discomfort, anger, just by creating a lie. Sometimes we create lies thinking that it's going to make it better for us. Instead, it made it worse because in the beginning, I guess, Pharaoh did not know why he was having plagues. And I guess they sought their gods or whoever they worship. And he's discovered that what was happening was Abram had lied about Sarah being his sister, and it would have caused him to be negative. It would caused him to go against what he believed in. And they don't go into detail, but the fact that Pharaoh calls Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why did thou not tell me that she was your wife? Why sayest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now, therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Think about things that we think are going to help us, and they end up being something so negative that it can lead to destruction totally. So when Pharaoh found out, it's like, why'd you lie to me? Why'd you tell me that? And you didn't have to. And sometimes you find little kids, if they do something, they know that they're wrong. And so they start making up stories. And eventually, they're found out. This is the end of chapter 12. Next week, if we can do 13 and 14, it would be good to see what happens after Abram's kicked out of Egypt, basically. Be prayerful. Look at what we've studied. See if you can find a way that it speaks to you or your loved ones, how we want to be obedient to God's call to our lives. Because it says in the scriptures, we don't know yet what God has in store. We can't even begin to know, but we can know his promises are to do as well. Kelly, you had your hand up?
Yeah, it was just that as you were reading that, I was thinking about one thing is just that how most of the time when people lie, you do it out of, he did it out of a fear. He was afraid.
Right.
So that's why he lied, and how a lot of times when we lie, we think about, if we do think about it, how it affects us. It's rare that we think about it adversely affecting another person. So it's just interesting. This is just an interesting perspective.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we don't always think about how it's going to hurt somebody else. We think we're trying to get ourselves saved, or we get out of our fears. And we have to learn to love other people. We've got to think, how is it going to affect such and such if I do this, if I don't do this, that kind of thing. So, yes, thank you for sharing that, because that's an important point. Because it would have affected Sarah, and it would have affected the Pharaoh, and maybe his whole kingdom if he went to do that. He was bringing doom on himself and not knowing why. And a lot of times things in life are happening. It's called, what is it? It's the sin. The scripture talks about the sins of the fathers and mothers are visited upon the children. And sometimes when we do things that are not right, we think, oh, we got away with that, or, you know, this happened. But then when your children or their children's children, it could even skip generations, and those things will visit future generations. So we need to be cognizant of what is happening when we think about doing certain things. Thank you all. You were all very quiet tonight. I thank you, Kelly, and Cheryl, and Betty. But we will continue on next week. Anybody have any comments or anything they need to say? I'm going to mute you back, Kelly. And before we close tonight, and if you have something or remind me of something we were supposed to say or do. Anyone? Okay, Miss Betty, I'm coming. Go ahead, Betty.
Oh, okay. Last week I asked for prayer for Marcy, and I talked to her today. She's doing much better, and she says the doctors were very pleased with the operation, and she cried when she got our card, and she's doing pretty well. She's just trying to gain weight back again. So thank you for your prayers, and please let's continue to pray for her full recovery.
Yes, and I did not ask, thank you for sharing that. I did not ask for prayers tonight for different people. So if you have someone you would like for us to lift in prayer before we disband tonight, I'm going to put Jordan Porch and Jaden Porch on our prayer list for tonight. Who else?
And I would like to give a prayer for Thanksgiving.
Prayer for Thanksgiving. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Anyone else? Just start 5-star if there's someone you want to include. And I have not talked to Una, but we will continue to pray for her and her family also. Okay, are we ready? Okay, one more. Sharon. Oh, Sharon, I get to hear your voice. Hold on. Go ahead, Sharon.
I just wanted to let you know Una is doing pretty good. Her husband is in Manure Park.
Oh, okay.
And for rehab. So right now, so far so good. I'll see her tomorrow.
Okay.
So we can pray for her husband.
Okay, we will.
You know, therapy or exactly what's wrong with him, but, you know, he had been ill there for a while.
Right.
So, and then after he was seemed like he was getting better, then Una got sick. So now they do have him in Menorah Park.
Okay. And that's probably mm-hmm. going to help her to get well, too, because it's not
yes.
easy taking care of someone.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that, and give everybody my love tomorrow too.
I most certainly will.
Okay. I'm gonna mute you back. Thanks for joining us. I missed your input.
I was so tired from today. We had the veterans luncheon,
And we wondered if that was today. Go ahead.
That was today, and I got home, and I straightened up some of the things that I had brought back and fell asleep on the couch, and when I joined you, a girlfriend of mine called me, and she woke me up. And she said, oh, my goodness. She said, I forgot you had Bible study tonight. And I asked her, and she had to laugh. I said, well, is this still Thursday or have we gone to Friday?
I know that kind of day.
Yes. Yeah, so right, that is one reason why I have not been vocal. I've got my family tree, and I will send you a copy of it, okay?
Okay, and I'm going to do what Cheryl said. So I'm going to go on maybe before I get off the computer tonight and look.
And it will go to Family Tree, like she had said, and it will show you all of the sons. Well, once you put in each son, it will show you their family tree.
Okay. Did anybody have Jephthah? I'll take him if you didn't. Okay, because we'll talk about them because we'll see some more of them coming up. Kelly, would you do our closing prayer and the people we have put on the line? Oh, I got to unmute you, don't I?
Yes, you do.
I got to mute Sharon. Hey, I've had one of those days, too, because we started out early today. And it just seemed like there's so much. Go ahead, Kelly.
Okay. Father God, we thank you so much for this time of study. We thank you for your presence. And we just pray that even as we leave this line, that you would continue to help us to delve into your word and to understand what it is that you are speaking to us. Father God, we lift up all those whose names have been mentioned on this evening who are in need of prayer. We lift up Marcy and Jordan and Jaden, Una and her husband. And we just thank you. You know, I'm just so glad that even a prayer for Thanksgiving was requested because we have so much to be thankful for. We just thank you even for this opportunity to be able to study from the convenience of our homes and to even have this fellowship with one another. And Father God, I pray that even as we go through this month of November, that we would become more aware of all the blessings that you have given us and that we would have a grateful heart, that even as we're going through things, that we would stop and take a moment to look at everything that you have done for us, just even how you decorated the sky with pretty blues and the trees that come and fall in autumn. Father God, we just thank you for everything that you do for us. Father God, I lift up Reverend Abernathy to you. I lift up Miss Betty, Miss Frances, Miss Cheryl, and Miss Sharon, all of their families, and even those who are joining us that are not present. I lift up our families. I pray, Lord, that you would keep us well and that we would do all that you have created us to do in this season. We thank you for provision, and we just thank you for life of itself. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. I do want to share before we go that I did issue a challenge on Sunday to our congregation to make November every day a thanks day, every day Thanksgiving. And the things that we take for granted, we need to pay attention to because nothing is for granted. Nothing has to be. I don't know. I was just really upset about those 9 people who were killed for no apparent reason. We're thankful for not being in the wrong places at the wrong times or that sort of thing. So every day, find something to thank God for. Not to ask for, but to thank him for. And we will see as the month goes on, your life will be so much different. It really will. Okay, good night. God bless us all. And we will come together again. The only day I just thought about it, we meet on Thursday, and Thanksgiving we will not have a conference.
call, okay? Because I'm sure all of you will be taking a nap after your turkey. So, but we will have up to Thanksgiving, and we'll report that later. Also, Kelly, what about the online? On our church's website,
okay,
I'm going to You tell it, Kelly.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
I didn't know if I was unmuted or not. But
you're unmuted.
Okay, all of the Bible study recordings from when we just started back, there's some from before summer, but all of the ones for the fall are now uploaded, and they are on the church's website. You know, I think if we could let us know if you have an email address or if you're on social media. I did not post today, but I'm going to try to make sure that I post on Facebook all of the information along with even our homework assignment we're going to post.
Okay.
I was trying to find the, because I don't know it by heart, the church's website. It's Auburn UCC, I think.
I'm going to. Yeah, if you put in Auburn Church.
It is. It's auburnucc.com. That's what it is. AUB, like in boy, UR, like in Robert, N as in Nancy, UCC.com. AuburnUCC.com. That is the church's website, and you will find all of the Bible study recordings listed there under Bible study recordings.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for sharing tonight. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend, and God bless us all. I'll do. Good night.